Coming up on this week's season finale edition of BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, the Cougars are back home to close out their regular season slate with a senior night send-off against top 10 Texas Tech. And we're putting a wrap on the year with the coach and senior Jared McGregor. Coming up next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years.
Hello, hello, hello. Once again, and for the final time this year, Cougar Nation, welcome back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah, for our weekly, hour-long look inside the BYU men's basketball program. It's our final show of this season. Somehow it's happened. And as always, we are very grateful for our live studio audience that makes this show go. You just heard him. You just saw him. Let's hear him and see him again, shall we? Yes. Oh, hey. All right. Coming up on tonight's program, among other things, we are going to look back at BYU's recently completed two-game Eastern road swing. Deep Blues and Encore edition on Dave Rose this week. Senior Jared McGregor will join us live in studio. Special guest might also join us live in studio. In addition to Jared, some audience Q&A with the coach and Jared, and we'll look ahead to Big 12 and NCAA tournament play, which is just around the corner. And so to tip off tonight's swan song of shows, he's right here next to me. Please welcome in BYU head coach Kevin Young. Hello, Coach.
And I was so excited to get out here. I jumped the gun.
You did. I didn't get to the big side entrance because here you are. But however you get out here, it's all good.
Yeah.
All right. You know, this has been an interesting season, a season with some adversity, a lot of it due to injuries, which are kind of like out of your control. How, I don't know if helpless is the right word, but how does it feel to have a season kind of set up a certain way and then you're dealing with things that kind of just keep on coming at you?
You know, it's just it's part of sports. You know, it's part of life. Things happen that you don't expect, and you got to be able to adjust. And you know, I think just managing the emotion, right, is something that can be challenging for sure. But you know, the thing I love about our group is, you know, it has not torn the team apart. You know, it's been a little obviously the last road trip was difficult, but guys are in a great place. You know, I think everyone. What I said to them today, actually, I said, look, guys, I'm going to be vulnerable. You know, it's tough. We basically coached three different iterations of this team, you know, the group we thought we were going to have, and then the new group, and then the third iteration, which we're currently on right now. And so there's things that work with certain groups that don't work with other groups. And, you know, I'm asking guys to do this and do that, and we're changing things. So we're just trying to, you know, find a place that allows guys to keep things simple, right? That's why I always come back to just trying to keep things as simple as possible. And allowing their effort and their togetherness kind of take us where we need to go.
But you did a lot of heavy lifting to get to 20 wins, which those are real things. Those happened, and they are part of this team still. You've earned what's still coming your way.
For sure, and this is what I told our guys after the you know, the Cincinnati game is, you know, it was less than 2 weeks ago that we beat a team who had just been anointed a number one seed, right, in Iowa State. And they, so, and that was with the team that we have now, right? That was the team, the iteration that we have. And so, you know, again, managing the emotions, not getting too high when things are good, not getting too low when things aren't going your way. And again, relying on each other and relying on, you know, your teammates to just kind of pick each other up when things might not be going your way. And that's kind of where our guys are focused right now.
What do you hope becomes a strength with this final iteration of groups of guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, defensively we have a lot of room for growth. You know, we haven't been good. A lot of that, you know, is honestly my fault, like trying to do too much, trying to overcomplicate things with the group. And so now we're, I think, having a little bit more clarity of exactly what we want to do defensively. Because, you know, you got to be able to, in order to either get a lead or cut into a lead, you have to be able to string together multiple stops in a row. And that's something that we've had a hard time doing. And so I think just stripping things down, making it a little bit simpler for the guys, and being able to hold them accountable to those things, I think allows us to, my hope is to just be a little bit more, I think, solid on the defensive end, which allows us to get out and transition and be able to, you know, score on the break and things like that.
Can you believe that suddenly we've hit senior night already?
No, it's crazy. I mean, every year I coach, it's like, man, you can't believe you get to the end. My wife might argue with that, but it just goes quick. It goes quick every year, and you know, I'm excited for our seniors, you know, to be honored, and you know, they all deserve it, and it should be a great night.
And another top 10 opportunity. You talked about Iowa State.
Yeah.
That was a top 10 team that came in, and you get the Red Raiders. They're also top 10.
For sure. You know, a lot of respect for their coaching staff. I think they do a tremendous job. I mean, they're going through adversity of their own. You know, they did a great job without Top. They've done a great job without Toppin, who had an ACL injury shortly after Richie's. You know, and so they're playing well. But, you know, again, I like where, as much as that trip was difficult, I like where our guys are at. I thought we had a great practice today. I think the guys' spirit and energy is in a good place. And honestly, that's more than half the battle, when you're winning or when you're losing. If you have a spirited group that shows up every day, that gives you their best, that tries, that cares about their teammates, you know, anything is possible. Oh, and by the way, when you have the talent that we have, you know, you really are. You're just one half, one five-minute segment of a game, one game, you know, away from just blowing the roof off of it and the guys being like, you know, here we go. So that's what I'm hopeful for.
Whether you're a team that's closer to 30 wins or a 20-win team or a team around 10, postseason life or postseason play is about new life, and you guys have that in front of you too.
Yeah, we do. And it's like, you know, being able to, you know, to the Texas Tech game is big, obviously. But you know, just before you even get to the postseason, I mean, we talk about it a lot, you and I, but the Big 12, especially this year, is just an absolute gauntlet. I mean, you just look across the league, you know, even last
just kinda, this past week, a couple days
ago.
Yeah,
I mean, you see it across the league. I mean, what we're going through is not unique to BYU, right? It's a tough league. It's really hard to win, and so that's where I think you have to have some mental strength, right? It's like, If you can just get through it, keep the boys in the boat, stay positive, get a little bit of momentum heading into the postseason. I mean, any team in our league is going to be as battle tested or more. I think we're even more given our non-conference schedule on top of the Big 12 schedule. You just have to, you know, not sink your own ship, right? And I think that's been my message.
Yeah, you weather the stormy seas, you keep the boys in the boat, and you don't go overboard mentally with how tough things are.
You do, right? It's a mental toughness game as much as it's anything else, and it takes a toll on you. I mean, for me, I'm still learning college. It's just so much more fickle than the NBA. NBA, you might have a rough patch and you just keep it moving because you have a million games. Everything is so much more magnified in college. The media overreacts to everything, good or bad.
Yeah.
You win a game and, oh, you're going to win the title. You lose a game and it's like, oh, this guy's on the hot seat or whatever, you know, nationwide and so forth. So you really have to ride the wave and you can't get caught up in all the nonsense that's out there.
All right, let's get to some recaps from this past couple games in the past week. Since we last got together here, BYU went on the road, played a pair of games. Let's get to the individual highlights and some stat recaps from the West Virginia and Cincinnati games. And they are brought to you by Intermountain Health. The trip began for BYU back in Morgantown. The Cougs were at Hope Coliseum, where they have gone 2-0 since joining the Big 12. Mountaineers were coming in on a three-game losing streak, but got right against the Cougs on this night. And speaking of right, we're going to take a look at Robert Wright III from Morgantown. Rob went 7-15 from the field for a game-high 23 points, added 4 rebounds, team-high 4 assists, 3 steals. He was the only player on the floor who did not leave the floor. And, Coach, you've been able to play him 40 minutes 3 times here late in the year.
Yeah, you know, given the situation we're in, you know, we need as much of him as we can get. And just trying to balance it with you know, his fatigue and so forth. But, yeah, he was good in that game. I thought he did a good job of putting pressure on their defense. Just a little not enough, obviously. They did a good job down the stretch. We had some, you know, really unfortunate turnovers down the stretch where you think you're going to go score on a fast break and so forth. But, you know, that was a tough one because Cincinnati, we didn't play well. They played great. I know we'll get to that game. But that reason I'm mentioning that is – it made this loss sting even more.
So it felt a little more gettable.
Yeah,
right?
We had a chance to win this game. And, you know, felt like it's one we kind of let get away from us. And, you know, the margins are so slim in this league. Man, you can't, you know, a 60-second, you know, string of tough plays can win or lose you a game.
Back in Morgantown, A.J. DeBonsa, typically productive night. He scored 20. Moo Davis chipped in with 7. Kay Bakeda had a really active night, 9 points, 8 rebounds, 2 block shots. And Alexei Kostic, who we'll see some of here Team-high 4 three-pointers. He continues his late-season emergence.
Yeah, no, he's been good. But going back to Cabe, Cabe was good. You know, he got two early fouls. You know, if I had to do it all over again, I probably would have just kept him out there. I thought when he came out that changed the game probably too much. But you live and you learn. In terms of Kostic, you know, he's been a bright spot, no question. Like, his ability to come in and stretch the floor, you know, he's playing with a high level of confidence. I got to give Charles Abuo a lot of credit for keeping him in a space where he's very confident. They put a lot of work in the gym together, and he's been really good.
Final stat sheet from Saturday, the rare game where BYU loses a game with a better shooting percentage. That rebound edge that we're going to see included 18-8, Coach, on the offensive glass, 15-8 in second chance points. Kind of felt like that was the ball game on Saturday, was offensive rebounds.
No, it was. And look, you got to give, you know, West Virginia credit. And what a friend of mine said this, I may have mentioned this already, but it bears saying again, is he said, look, every night in the Big 12, it feels like you're playing a top 10 team or you're playing against a team that if they beat you, they're going to get in the tournament. It's just what it feels like, right? So every game is huge. And I have to give West Virginia credit. I mean, they were the hungrier team. They're not even a high-level offensive rebounding team, but they went after it. You know, our guys didn't do a good enough job of blocking out, and those guys, those second-chance points we talk about all the time in here. I mean, it's such a possession game, especially, I think, even more so as you get into these higher-intense games and postseason-type games. The possession game is such a critical piece.
From Morgantown, BYU flew to Cincinnati to take on a surging Bearcats club. Cincy had won 5 of 6 coming into Tuesday night's contest, and the Bearcats kept it going against BYU. The nation's leading scorer, A.J. DeBonsa, recorded his 9th consecutive game with 20-plus points, led all scorers with 23, drew a game-high 8 fouls on the night, added 6 assists, 6 boards. He's scored in double figures now in all 30 games of his BYU career, Coach, with 10 points on Saturday coming up. He'd set the new Big 12 record for most double-figure scoring regular season games to open a Big 12 career. Guys named Trey Young and Kevin Durant currently hold that record, and A.J. could break that on Saturday. And we've been listing superlatives about him, well, really all season long.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good company when you're talking about Trey Young and KD, obviously. But, you know, even that being said, I didn't, you know, that was not one of A.J.'s best games, you know. At the same time, I thought, you know, he got fouled quite a bit that they didn't call it, but you got to figure out a way to just kind of keep things moving. You got to grind through it. But that was a tough game. We didn't play well. They played really well. It was their senior night, another game they had to win to get it, you know, and it just felt like it was just another night of a team having a lot of motivation to play us. And our guys were, you know, we just didn't play well, bottom line. And sometimes those happen, unfortunately, but, you know, looking forward to another opportunity to right that ship.
From A.J. to A.K., Alexei Kostic, another solid game in Cincinnati off the bench. Third straight game with 4 3-pointers in a game, Coach. He finished with 14. He's averaging 13.3 over the last 3 games, and he's raised his season three-point percentage now to an even 40%.
Yeah, no, he's playing with high level of confidence. You know, he puts the work in. That's something that I love about him. You know, he's obviously wasn't expected to come in and get as big of a role, but just given the situation we're in, he's the epitome of, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready, you know, and that's a great lesson for young kids that are out there working. Maybe you're not getting what you want. You just got to stay ready because you never know when your number is going to get called. He's been great for us, and we're going to continue to need him.
All right, final stat sheet from Cincinnati. And on this night, turnover trouble was one of the storylines, Coach. 15 giveaways led to 21 Cincy points off of turnovers, and second-chance points again went in the Bearcats' favor. So a little underwater there with assisted turnover, and they kind of made you pay on that night.
Yeah, I mean, we had a hard time shooting, so it's tough to get assists when you can't make shots. But, you know, just I thought we were too careless with the basketball. You know, they won that margin by quite a bit, and, you know, they made us pay every time we turned the basketball over. And I follow what's going on. I know they're kind of a bubble team. I mean, we've played all the big boys. I mean, what they've been able to turn their season into has been extremely impressive. They're playing, you know, as good or better than anybody, honestly, and they have talent. I mean, the kid Baba Miller is, I think, a stone-cold NBA player. You know, Chom's a 7'2 load inside, and they've got those guards on the perimeter who are, you know, they're older, they've been there, they're experienced, and they're dynamic off the dribble and so forth. So that's a good club.
I'll be curious to see what they do in Kansas City, because if you take a snapshot of that team right now, that looks like a tournament-worthy team.
Yeah, I totally agree. And look, I mean, that the fact that that's a bubble team in there. I mean, you put that team in the ACC, you put that team in the Big Ten, I mean, Big 12, or any one of those other leagues outside of the Big 12, excuse me, you know, who knows where they would be. But that just goes to the strength of our league.
Absolutely. All right, assist count presented by Siegfried and Jensen, assisting Utah families for over 35 years. BYU had the 8 assists on 24 makes in Cincy. The Bearcats, 24 helpers, as you saw, on their 32 made field goals. Next is our Bully on the Boards count. Presenting rebounds, presented by Big Bully Turf, woman-founded and waffles-approved. BYU outboarded by 2 on that night in Cincinnati, 36-34. All right, time for our first break. And this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer and Jer, and weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, the man of the house behind the coach of the Cougs, Phil Young, will join the show when BYU Basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stay with us.
Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful. And Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope.
Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, presented by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Well, Father's Day is still 3 months away, but on this show, our Father's Day comes early because he's back after a wildly popular appearance in his debut last year on this show. We're happy to welcome back into Studio C his dad, Phil Young. I think last time you were here, you had a little more facial hair. Am I wrong about that?
I did.
Yeah. Honor code, man. Got him.
Yeah. Actually, we're getting ready for a mission.
No kidding. Congratulations. Yeah. What's happening? Where?
We're going to serve at the Heber Valley Camp. We start April the 6th. So the facial hair is gone.
Gone. Yeah. So that's you and Jody.
Yeah.
Jody's out here. Jody's
yes,
right here
is.
In the stand.
Hey,
Jody. Good to see you. Kevin's mom, Jody. So there we go. Well, that's awesome. That's great news.
Thank you.
How has it been season 2 truly following BYU in a really up close and personal way?
You know, it's been great because obviously this hasn't been the season perhaps that everybody hoped for. But sports are like life, you know, and sometimes things don't always go the way you want. But it's how you respond to it, how you handle the adversity that really proves your mettle. And I'm so proud of these guys. Every one of them, everybody on the staff, the team, the coach, the players. You know, if you come back and you keep going and going and going, I mean, what more can you do? And that's what they've done. And they can hold their heads high. I'm just proud of the whole bunch of them.
How's the family text thread keeping up this year?
You know, it's good. It's good. It's been an eventful year for the Young family. You know, it's a couple babies added to the group.
Yeah.
You know, some health challenges in the family, where there's been some shift, I think, a little bit to kind of what matters most in life outside of just basketball in general. But basketball, especially our seasons, are always ones that just bring our family even closer together. And it gives some, you know, some distractions sometimes to the hard stuff in life, right? And so I think we've all sort of rallied around that this year.
What's the best way you find that you and Jody support Kevin in a season, this season or any season?
We don't ask him about basketball. You know, it's just great to come up and hang with the family, the grandkids, you know, just have some good times and do family stuff. And as Kevin mentioned, there have been some health challenges in our family with one of our kids back in Arizona. So we've stayed home a little bit more, haven't been up to as many games as we would have liked to help out with grandkids and stuff there. So that's really galvanized all of us as a family, you know, to just rally around. It's one of our daughters-in-law, and she's doing great. She's a fighter, and that's the reason I have the little pink ribbon on my hat. But you know, we're blessed. I mean, we truly are.
Kevin, you mentioned babies, plural. One belongs to you and Melissa, of course. I guess you have a niece or nephew that got brought along as well?
If I'm being honest, there's so many kids in that family and then Melissa's family. So I met her brother also had a baby. So maybe, am I wrong?
No, you're right. You're correct.
There's too many kids.
You're the only Either way, there are additions to the larger family. What's the grandchild number up to then for you guys?
27.
Whoa. See what I'm saying? There's too many. It's too many to keep track.
27?
Yeah.
Good heavens. It's funny, though, that we have you on at March, because I remember last March, as BYU made the run, I remember seeing you and Kevin's siblings at all the games. Like, as the run went on, we kept looking for you, and finding you. What a great run that was last year.
Man, it was awesome. You know, it was so much fun. We were able to travel a good bit. You know, we went to Denver. We went to New Jersey. It was awesome. And we just... There were a lot of us. Not everybody could go, but a good representation of us, you know, went. And it just made for great memories.
And you got to you've celebrated big wins at other levels, but it was cool after those wins seeing you find family members so quickly after games and get to enjoy that.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons I came to BYU was just I'm a family guy. And, you know, my family has a lot of, you know, connections to BYU. And I think it's been fun, you know. And so when you get a big win, I mean, you know, you want to just celebrate with the people that have always supported you. So it's just been it's fun and looking forward to, you know, more celebrations this year. I think it'll be even sweeter this year given how much adversity we've faced. But looking forward to some more celebrations with the young crew and Cougar Nation as well.
And the young family is located around the country and also around the world a little bit now too, right?
Yeah. So brother that's down in Santiago, Chile, about to move there temporary permanently for a few years, but you know, you keep him up to speed when his internet is not working for the TV. He tunes into the radio, and yeah, man, just like Cougar Nation is, it's worldwide, right? Everywhere we go, I mean, there's just fans everywhere, and our family's no different.
So remind me as we say goodbye to you, Phil, your mission term is last for how long?
So we go April to October
Okay. Of
this year. We go home, we report to the Gilbert Mission, where we live in Gilbert, Arizona, and then we go back April to October 2027.
So what he should say is they skip out on the hot Arizona summer, hang out up here,
we have to miss
and then
two
when
Arizona
it gets cold,
summers.
They go back. It's like, how is that even a real mission? Like, it's amazing. It's amazing.
And of course, I'm most focused on, does he have time to come back on the show next year? Which it sounds like you might.
We'll work that in.
If we're two for two, we better go three for three next year. We're glad he stopped by for a little bit on our final show of the season. We didn't want the season to end without getting Phil back in. So let's hear it for head coach Kevin Young's dad, Phil, on the program tonight.
Thank you. And next year we're going to have to...
Okay. Here we go. We know this isn't for him because he's got a cap on, but you brought with you...
A toque.
We learned on this program that what we here in the States might call a woolen hat or a beanie. Is north of the border called a toque. And briefly share you have some north of the border background.
I do. So when I was a freshman, sophomore in high school, we moved from California to Montreal, Quebec. And it was, I mean, like being on another planet. So I kept hearing this word toque. I'm like, what is a toque? And so they had this club at school called the La Toque Exchange. I thought, well, that's when everybody gets together and they just, you know, trade toques.
Right.
You know? It was an exchange student program through the La Toque Indian Reservation in Quebec.
A little different.
So I always carry a spare toque with me just in case.
I love it. Phil Young, everybody. We're back after this thing with us.
Thank you.
At Campus Floral, every
Welcome back. This is BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Tonight's Deep Blue is presented by Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Dive deeper today at DeseretBook.com. As BYU men's basketball head coach from 2005 to 2019, Dave Rose created a culture of character, winning 348 games, four Mountain West Conference regular season titles, and earning eight trips to the NCAA tournament. And for the last 15 years, Coach Rose's courageous battle with cancer continues to inspire others to live each day to its fullest. Here now, an encore presentation of Deep Blue with Coach Dave Rose.
He walked in our house and said to me, Cheryl, I don't want to be a business major. I want to be a coach. I don't want to go to an office every day. I want to do what I love, and I want to coach. I had no idea. That was, like, I didn't see that coming at all. I realized that I wanted you to be happy doing what you did. And
that was nice of you to agree. I was going to do it anyways.
I'm committed to being the best coach here at BYU that I can possibly be. I'm committed to making this program the best program that it can be and make everyone proud. I'm committed to the values of this school, and I'm excited, and I'm ready to get started. Thank you very much.
He's bleeding internally. He's throwing up blood, and blood is everywhere. And I don't know this doctor. He doesn't know who we are. It's just some, you know, random hospital that they took us to in the ambulance. And I grabbed the guy. I mean, I'm grabbing the guy by his jacket. And I said, you have to save this man. Like, he's an incredible father. He's, you know, the love of my life. He's incredible, you know, grandfather. He's a good son. Like, he's a good man. You have to save him. Thinking about him coming back and coaching after that initial diagnosis and almost losing his life in the hospital and undergoing surgery and then having a pulmonary embolism. But I'm thinking of the administration that believed that he could still do it. I mean, even after going through something so horrendous and really still not knowing exactly how this was all gonna go.
A memorable season for the BYU men's basketball team this past winter as they saw a courageous coach overcome the odds, a record-setting performance on the road, and finally putting an end to that pesky 17-year drought.
BYU advanced at the NCAA tournament in back-to-back seasons for the first time in school history.
It's a really good feeling when the committee thinks you're one of the best teams in the country to be in their tournament, so I'm excited about that.
But if the season had to end, it may as well end in the big dance.
He is a different person after cancer. He was so focused and very driven as a coach. They're great things. It's just that his mind and his heart opened up to so much more.
I appreciated the fact that I got to do this still way, way more than before cancer. That adjustment in my mindset actually made me a better coach.
For the first 4.5 years, he had negative scans, and we were 6 months away from 5 years where they would say, your tumor is NED, and all we wanted was a NED, no evidence of disease. And at the four and a half month mark, when we came back in, he had tumors. And since then, you know, they've continued to come, and over the years, he's managed to keep coaching.
When he was coaching it, no one understood like what he was going through, getting surgeries, coming back from them, all the symptoms and the sicknesses and the doctor appointments and the scans, and they were working around his schedule and recruiting and camps and the whole thing. The fact that they won so much, so inspiring.
BYU's here for the 7th time in 8 years, correct?
7th in the last 8 and 7 in Dave Rose's 9-year tenure.
We are now joined live by Dave Rose making his 8th NCAA tournament appearance.
Twenty-two at BYU, 14 as the head coach, and today's the day that I'm gonna retire. I'm 61 years old, and I still haven't worked a day in my life.
I always thought that I knew that I would know when it was time, if that makes any sense. I had been asked many, many times by different people, hey, how long are you going to do this? I said, well, I'll keep coaching as long as I keep winning. They said, well, you know you're not going to be able to coach forever. It just kept coming
Dave, I think it's time. In my brain, this kept coming over and over, and I think I knew, you know.
I don't know our life without basketball. It's just kind of...
Until I retired.
Until you retired.
And we had a real plan, what it was going to be like, and it didn't work out that way, but after I retired, that's probably when the most serious health issues started. That's when I had a heart attack, and then a year later I had a stroke. Now the fact that we're back into the cancer treatment again after that, it's a lot more complicated. Yeah.
So like if we wanted to treat this one rather than coming from behind your back, there'd be that probe and then we'd do another one.
He's trying to weigh decisions of like, do I continue doing a surgery with the risk of like that maybe killing me, or do I stop that course of treatment? And so that conversation was, I think, the part that got hard because, you know, the idea of like stopping treatment, you're like, no, like, no, we don't want to do that. And that's my mom. And I think I understand where my mom's coming from. But at the same time, like, we have his back. So 100% what he wants to do and what he needs to do, you know, we'll support that.
I've always kind of known that I'll always have the challenge, okay? And like I said, it used to be a 6-month challenge. And the last 2 years, it's kind of been I was going back with another procedure, with another challenge. It's just that it was disappointment after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And I was just tired.
It's not about like, oh, can we beat it? Like, we're past that. Like, we know cancer is gonna win, but like every single day that we get and every month that we get and every year that we get is such a gift.
Some days I measure myself as a really lucky guy that still gets to be around and, you know, kind of enjoy all the things that I get to enjoy and enjoy my grandkids and my kids, my family. And then there's other days when I think, man, I got the short end of the stick here and have got quite a challenge. So I don't think that sitting around and complaining and wondering why and questioning everything, that my days are any better than if I just enjoy what we're doing and look forward to the next day.
You know, coming into the story now, it's, I mean, it's not the best time, right? It's kind of a sad time, but the story's more than just like right now.
I love the life we've built with our kids, with our grandkids. We have incredible friends.
When you think about 15 years where you battled cancer, but during those 15 years, if you looked at what we've actually done, where we've been, what we've seen, that we probably never would have.
We're really blessed. Once again, I didn't mention your job. That's what he did for a living, and he loved it. But who he is as a human being is so many more things to me. And I'm so lucky that we have this life together.
I want you to know him like we know him, and know, like, I mean, because my dad is like my hero, you know.
Everything he did was to help our family succeed and our children succeed. And he always put me first. And I think he did that with his players and the people around him, his coaches. He always wanted them to succeed. And he sacrificed a lot to do that.
There's a lot of ways to really dig into your challenge and what you do and how you do it, but don't forget about other things that are way more important.
Coach Rose's story is still being written, and we're happy and blessed to still spend so much time around him pretty regularly, Coach.
Yeah, no, unbelievable person. And Cheryl is just amazing. Like, she's really taken Missy under her wing. We were with them the other night at Jimmer's retirement dinner. Just a class act, beautiful couple, and just great people. And just love that they still come to the game and support, and just, you know, just an all-around great people.
And your position is kind of cool, too, where ex-coaches are still around the program, whether it's him, Coach Cleve. You see the guys that preceded you. They're around to, you know, give you, you know, someone to talk to or relate to, and just have them be still, you know, friends of the program in a really great way.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, one thing that I think the common just fan of sport doesn't really understand is coaching is like no other, right? And particularly for the wives. Like, no one understands it like another coach's wife. You just don't. And so being able to have that bond, and then, you know, I'll see Coach Cleve around town. His grandsons are playing against my sons in leagues and stuff.
I love it.
He's a great dude, and just it's really special for me to just be a part of like that fraternity, because those are two really awesome guys.
All right, tonight's special guest has been a four-year member of the BYU men's basketball program, joining the team in 2022 after a church mission to Spokane, and now serving an invaluable role while helping BYU to what will be a third NCAA tournament bid in four seasons as a Cougar. Please welcome into Studio C, welcome back, senior Jared McGregor. Hello again, Jared.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to have you back.
Happy to be here.
For one final time. Senior night is a couple days away. Thoughts on that?
It's bittersweet. It's crazy. Never thought it would come, but here we are.
Retell our audience about your family ties to BYU.
Yeah, so pretty much my whole family went to BYU. My dad swam here. He was really good. He was an All-American here. And just trying to carry that on.
Was that ever a part of your competitive past, swimming?
Never was. My sister swam in high school. She was really good, but I stayed out of the water. I stick to hooping, so.
Remind us how you joined the BYU program initially.
So got home from my mission back in 2021.
And you were in Gonzaga country.
I was.
Yeah.
I was. Good times up there. became a manager for the team, and my second year at BYU, earned a walk-on spot.
Okay. Coach, you got to know Jared when you took the job, obviously. He was a holdover. What has he meant to you in your time here?
He's been tremendous. You know, he's a guy that's just like, what can I do for the team? You know, we've had several meetings where it's, you know, Coach, what do you need from me? What does the team need? And in the role he's in, and one day it could mean we need this, and the next day it could mean something totally different. So, you know, he's been a real, you know, steady and consistent, you know, part of our program since I've gotten the job. You know, helps us get ready for, you know, opponents. Even today was instrumental in helping us get ready for, you know, this next game against Texas Tech. But the thing I love about him is just his impact on his teammates. You know, he's a guy that's really, you know, taken some, especially the new guys, you know, who maybe didn't know as much about BYU. He's taken guys under his wing, kind of showed them the ropes around here in a lot of different ways. And, you know, his impact, you can't really measure it. You know, you don't see it on the stat sheet. But, you know, I know for myself as the head coach and the rest of our staff, you know, his contributions are seen every day.
How have you viewed your role with the program?
Yeah, it's been great. Obviously, from the get-go, it's been a dream come true for me. And coming in the program, I told myself that whatever my role was, I was going to do my best to fulfill that role. And it's, you know, it's been different every year. But I've enjoyed it. I can't complain, so.
Back in the day, as a high schooler, and you went to high school where?
Westlake.
Okay. You once hit the most threes in the entire 6A classification.
That's correct.
1 year. Yeah. Three-point specialist since when?
Day one.
See, that's when you know you're a shooter. See, I say this all the time. You either wake up and think you're a shooter or you don't. See, so that's exactly right. And he's got extreme confidence, and you can't shoot the ball unless you have extreme confidence.
I love your shot, and I think your mechanics are a little bit unique. You have a high arcing shot, really high when you want it to be really high.
Mm-hmm.
When did you develop that shot?
So I I grew up, my brothers taught me how to play ball, taught me how to shoot, and I always wanted to shoot from farther back. And you can't really shoot good form as a little kid from far back, and so I kind of had to shoot from the hip, a little catapult. But so it's gotten better over the years, but I guess, you know, your habits carry with you. So as long as I can remember, I've kind of had a unique shot with a high arc.
When J-Mac gets going, it's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. Yeah, it definitely, when we know we've got to get prepared for a shooter, he's the guy that we try to go chase around out there. And
he gets the green jersey.
He gets the coveted green jersey and lets that thing fly for sure.
I love it. You're an avid golfer?
I am, yeah.
Okay. The story behind your 2025 hole-in-one.
We were just talking about that in the back room, actually. At Hobble Creek, hole number 6, with some of my buddies. And it was crazy. It was one of the craziest feelings I've ever had. Someone asked me, would you rather have a game winner or a hole-in-one? And honestly, it's close.
Now it's tougher to answer.
It's close. The feeling was unreal.
Distance and club.
It was an 8-iron from about 172, I believe.
A lot of roll, hopping in, or what?
One bounce, disappeared.
I love it. Awesome. Career highlights or favorite memories from your time as a BYU Cougar?
Oh, man. Had to be my first year. First few games, I was nervous to shoot. But there was one game where my teammates were like, J-Mac, if you don't shoot the ball, like, I'm going to kill you. So get in the game and got one up, went in. Crowd went crazy, teammates going crazy. And the next possession come down, bang another one. So it was like, I don't know. It was just a surreal feeling and dream come true. So that was for sure one of them. Beating Iowa State last year was pretty electric.
At their place.
Got up 20.
Because the one in KC was pretty good too, but at their place was pretty epic.
Yeah. Got up 20. They fought back, and that place was rocking. It was insane. And, you know, Trey's alley-oop to Dallin, and, you know, we go on to win it in overtime. So.
What do you hope is still ahead for this year's team?
I mean, you know, Coach talks about it all the time. We have everything in front of us. We want to, you know, go to Kansas City and try to win this Big 12 tournament. And then, you know, obviously get to March. And, you know, that's when it gets really fun and make a big run there.
I think this is your third time on the coach's show over the years. You've been with the team for a long time. So we'd like you to hand out some team superlative awards to any of your all-time teammates here at BYU. They can be this year's, like really recent memory. You can go back in the day if you want to. So anybody, you can rely on anybody for this one in terms of who you want to look to. But we're going to give you some categories,
okay.
And you simply name a teammate that might match the person, okay?
Good.
First one we're going to call the gym freak. Teammate who's just an absolute beast in the weight room.
Oh, boy. Foose.
Foose.
I mean, just that guy moves weight. It's crazy.
You go along with that one, Coach?
That's the big boy right there.
Yeah.
Big boy.
Okay, gym freak Foose. Number two, the he can't lose teammate. Really competitive, hates to lose, just an absolute gamer.
I say Dallin Hall. Dallin Hall, he loved to win, hated losing, and you know you could tell when he was losing. He was back in the gym working, and so, yeah, down on.
Okay, number three, Mr. Silky Smooth Jumper, cleanest shooting form. You can't name yourself on this one.
Let's see. I got to say my fellow walk-on, Tanner Hayhurst.
Tanner Hayhurst.
Pure shooter, perfect form. We always call him Clay Thompson because that guy was just money.
Somewhere out there, Trevin Nell's really mad at this moment. Yeah. Number four, the comedy king. Teammate that over the years can crack a joke, leave everyone laughing.
Oh, shoot. I don't know. Trey? Trey?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good humor, good jokes.
Okay.
Trey.
Number five, the spark plug teammate who can bring energy into the game at any moment, anytime they're on the floor.
Probably Hadeem.
Hadeem, you like that one, Coach?
Yeah.
Hadeem's a good one. I mean, I think Richie and Hadeem have got to be the first two from this year's team for sure.
Okay, I like it. The call Coach Kalani teammate, who would have been the best football player?
Oh, I love this question.
Moo. I think Moo.
What was your answer?
Big, strong, fast.
I think Rob Wright as a running back would be next level. Impressive.
I like it.
Yeah.
And number seven, the bottomless pit, the teammate that could eat the most at a team meal, pregame, postgame, snacking, whatever.
Kaba. I'd say Kaba.
Kaba can put it back?
Yeah.
I know this isn't a teammate because he's a coach, but Nate Austin.
Okay.
That dude can eat more food than anyone I've ever been around.
Honorable mention for Nate.
Yeah.
And finally, Mr. Matchmaker, if there is one, who would be the best at playing Cupid and setting up teammates, if that ever happens?
Can you think of anyone?
Hey, bro, you're on the streets.
Oh,
you
man.
Tell me. you tell me. Might be you, maybe. I don't know.
It might be me, yeah. Oh, shoot.
You can give yourself that one if you want.
Yeah. I mean, my wife tries. She's always like, I don't know, we should introduce so-and-so to such-and-such. So she talks about you all the time. You don't even know. So behind the scenes, my wife's trying to be matchmaker.
I like that nomination. All right, after this break, we'll hear from our studio audience with this week's Q&A segment. That's next. Stay with us on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. And Ken Garth, we hear you.
It is our season finale of BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Time now for some audience Q&A brought to you by Ken Garf, where we hear from you, the fans. We have a couple of fans lined up here in the studio with questions for the coach and or Jared. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Naomi. My question is, what was your favorite game you have played?
Is this for Jared?
Yeah.
Okay.
Favorite game I played... I've hit shots in multiple different games, any of those games I'd say, but mainly Wisconsin last year in the tournament, advancing to Sweet 16. That's a feeling I'll never forget with my teammates after in the locker room, and so I'd say Wisconsin.
Excellent. All right, and you, sir.
My name is Josh, and my question's for Kevin. What is one thing from last year you learned and implemented this year?
Just how to deal with physicality in the Big 12. You know, it's such a physical league. They don't call a ton of fouls, so had to adjust. That was probably the biggest adjustment I had to make in season last year and try to get ahead of it a little bit in our who we recruited, but also just in how we kind of go about some of our schemes.
How do you feel that you are set up now that you kind of got this thing 2 years in for what's ahead moving forward for BYU?
Well, every year is different, right? And so, I mean, so in college, the lifeblood is the recruiting, right? And so you got to make sure you're staying on that and putting a team together that you feel like can kind of have that chemistry. So, you know, that's like team building is a constant. I'm reminded of how important that is every single year.
Great, Coach. Thank you. As we go to break, here's tonight's And One trivia question presented by Brady Plus, providing Jansan food service and packaging supplies plus support. Brady Plus ensures businesses are more successful every day. Question this week, who is BYU's career leader in NCAA tournament 3-point field goal percentage? The answer is coming up next. Stay with us on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. All right, so welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Final segment. That was our question and the answer here. And kudos to the gentleman in our audience who got it correct. Noah Hartsock. Yeah, didn't shoot a ton of threes, but when he did, he made it count. Noah Hartsock is the answer this week. All right, broadcast schedule for BYU and Texas Tech coming up here in just a couple of days. The number 10 Red Raiders in town. It'll be a 7:30 Mountain Time pregame, 8:30 Mountain Time tip. You see the Eastern Times there. Hear the game on BYU Radio and watch it on ESPN. And then after that, it is time for the Big 12 tournament, the NCAA tournament. That is all ahead. Coach Young and Jared, no better time than the madness of March. We're in March, and here we go. Good luck to you. on senior night. Have a good senior night. And coach, we're excited for what's ahead. You never know what this month will bring, and we look forward to living it with you.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited about it. Man, last year was some of the funnest times I've ever had. Quick shout out to Greg for hosting the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, coach. Thank you, Jared. Thank you all season long. Go Cougs.